I actually don't even know where the microphone is on my computer, so I'll
just wave it around.
I just wave this around, and I don't know how to, I don't know what the story is as far as, like, adding bumper music or anything like that. I don't know. Just go ahead. Keep doing the Fibrace.
Smells great.
All right, so here we are behind the barricade, and with Andrew Varela, and today we have what's kind of known in the industry as a get, because what I have here is another principal in the show. I should keep that going. That's actually kind of hip in the back.
Yeah, right. I'm feeling it.
You're feeling it. Don't let it go. Don't stop believing. And we got here. Justin Scott Brown is Marius in the company. And he's done a great job. He's a cute dude.
Aww.
And we have no, that's not me. I've seen the tweets. And I know a lot of people have been really interested in finding out more about you. A lot of now this is annoying. So
not you.
This sucks. Anyway, I asked the Twitter people the tweeps what questions they have to ask, and I got a healthy dose of questions. What you use in your hair was the one that I didn't get. Actually, that was my question, because your hair looks fabulous all the time.
Yeah, I use some serious stuff, some got to be.
Okay, so listen, now when I was, let's start with you. Now, what is your experience with Les Mis? You're in your 20s. What's your experience with Les Mis as far as like a piece of theater? What did you know about it?
Well, yeah, actually, I'm 25, same age as Les Mis.
Wow. Yeah, so, look at you, huh?
Yeah, I'm a Les Mis baby.
Wow. Okay. That's not a flattering thing to say about yourself, though, just so you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I grew up listening to it. My parents were, really into it and everything, mm-hmm. so I dreamed of being in it, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's
definitely
cool.
Definitely, like when I was starting to get
it. Did you listen to it? You probably listened to it first time on CD, right? I listened to it on tape. You probably had a CD.
CD, definitely.
No, your parents didn't have the LP or anything like that, the record?
No.
Okay,
no.
I don't want to talk about
this anymore.
The 10th
anniversary concert, I think. Oh
yeah, so you saw that. So when you saw that this was going on, because you featured pretty prominently in Spring Awakening,
right?
That was huge.
Right.
Tell me about. I mean, where did you start out? How did you get into business? Have you always been doing it?
I've always been doing it. It's kind of the chorus line. I can do that story. My sister was got into theater when she was young, and mm-hmm. of course I looked up to her, and I followed suit. And mm-hmm. she quit, of course, like 3 years.
They always break your heart.
But I stuck with it, mm-hmm. and I was hooked from then on, I would say.
Yeah.
And, did children's theater and yeah. moved my way up from
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Where did you come? Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Connecticut, but
okay.
San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
The San Francisco Bay Area.
I love San Francisco.
Moved there when I was like 12.
I love San Francisco.
It's the best.
Yeah. So you came to New York. And did you, now I know you did the lead in Spring Awakening, you did it on the tour,
I understudied the lead, and uh-huh. I was, and actually, almost all of the guys except for Moritz, so it was a
means
big,
nothing
was,
to me, is that the fat kid? Did you play the fat kid?
Kind of the character part, of
okay.
course, I would have loved to,
yeah,
to do it, but, so I did that on the road before this,
uh-huh.
for about 8 months.
Keep going, I'm adjusting.
And I had a little break between that and this, but that's basically kind of what I've done since I graduated college.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of touring.
Yeah. Touring's good, though. You're a young man.
Touring's great,
touring
yeah.
It doesn't suck when you're a kid, man.
It doesn't.
Not
it's fun while you're young.
Yeah.
I just, haven't really been in New York, haven't really been able to,
Are you looking forward to getting back there?
I really am.
I think you're gonna have a great time. I think they're gonna snap you up, and everybody's gonna be real happy with you.
Well,
because I've been working with what's your name, Justin, and he's totally cool. He's totally chill. He's for a young male lead. He's incredibly low maintenance, and that's a good thing to say about somebody that you got to spend as much time as we do together. So when you got the call for Les Mis, you auditioned for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
While I was out on the road.
Oh, really? Did you
yeah.
have to fly back in or what?
Yeah, I flew. I was flying back and forth from Detroit at the time.
Right. You were in okay.
with Spring Awakening.
Yeah,
I was in Detroit.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
At the Fisher Theater.
Yeah.
And
which we played again.
Full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a small circle, but full. Yeah. So you came in. You auditioned. Did you get the vibe? Because we all have different experiences with the. with Lawrence and James and all the directors on the show, there was this room full of Europeans, which as an American is a very uncomfortable position to be in. Very jarring. You know, scones and teas everywhere.
They like to talk.
They do. Oh, and they love. They love to chat about what you're doing and stuff. And you know, you need to get back to. You need to get back outside. You need to hurry up. So you went ahead, you auditioned. What did you sing at your audition? What was your first song that you sang?
My first song that I sang, I think I pretty much did the show material from the beginning.
Oh, really?
I would say. Mm-hmm. But I probably did some kind of I don't know, anthem from Chess or something like that. One of those oldies but goodies.
You got a good vibe right from the start.
Uh-huh. You know, I felt pretty passionate about this role and wanting to play it, and mm-hmm. I knew it was a great fit for me, and I had a good feeling about it
going into
it.
Good.
That's why it was worth the trip.
Did they make you wait? Were you one of the people that they made wait before they called you and told you you had the role?
It was pretty soon.
I was first, just so you know.
Oh yeah,
I was first. I got the first call,
and then they base everyone else's
around me, and that's the way it's done. That's just smart casting on their part. I think they're really geniuses with that.
It all trickles down from Javier.
All comes from me. People.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Susan wants to ask a question.
But where did you go to college? You said that pretty much out of college that you did this. Where did you go to college?
I went to Cincinnati Conservatory, CCM. Okay. Yeah.
That's a good school.
It's a great school.
There's a lot of people in New York that are from CCM.
Lots of people. A network of people. Which
it really is.
Nice.
CCM and Mormons. That's all that's left in New York. The only new people in New York are from CCM or Mormon.
So those are the things to be, I guess.
Yeah.
But, it was a great experience, CCM. Yeah. It's definitely, helped get me where I am now, right out of school, for sure.
And that was a long way to go from San Francisco. What made you want to go there? Did you know someone who had gone there?
I went to a boarding art school.
Oh, that's right. You just mentioned that. Yes. You mentioned that you went to boarding school.
Boarding school.
Now, did you feel that informed your Spring Awakening thing? Because those guys wear jackets. I'm assuming it's a boarding school thing.
Well, it was an art school, so we didn't really wear uniforms.
You didn't?
We had to wear blacks to our theater classes.
Oh, you did? How was that? It was like moment chance. What was your affectation of choice in art school?
Did you wear a fedora?
You strike me as a guy who uses a cane at some point.
There was all kinds of crazy stuff. Sometimes it would turn into full on, like, you know, that movie Camp or Fame, you know. People banging on plates.
Oh, for real? That's so silly, man. That's pretty cool.
It was cool.
There's always the girls that just have to sing belt tunes all the time.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're just kind of like, oh honey, let's just wait. Come on, let's just. Take it easy. Nice leg warmers, though. I always thought that was always a nice thing. Some of the people asked, how was Spring Awakening? People are writing in and asking about that. What was your experience with it?
Spring Awakening was amazing. I mean, that show, you know, I was kind of worried towards the end of college there because I, you know, was getting older and didn't want to miss the boat on Spring Awakening because I, you know, really wanted to be in it. So mm-hmm. I kind of lucked out that they were, you know.
Is that the show you obsessed about when you were, you know, when you were
probably
coming up?
Towards the end of college there, for sure. Yeah. It's just such a cool show and new and interesting. And
I still have not heard it.
What's
the name of the love song? Who wrote it?
There's a lot. Duncan Sheik.
That's why I know that. Duncan Sheik.
Yeah, he wrote the music.
Super, I Want to Kill Myself music. If I recall, I have a Duncan Sheik album that I always want to kill myself
from way back when. Well, you know, it deals with some dramatic dramatic things, so I guess that might be a little fitting sometimes. No, but it's just a great show. It was a play originally, and it's about, you know,
German
late
kids.
19th century Germany, kids kind of like discovering their sexuality, and there's, you know, it deals with homosexuality, rape, you know, all the abortion.
So I can bring the kids,
you're
saying.
Yes.
This is a Disney show,
it,
right?
It was interesting to take it on tour and see some of the reactions.
How did that go? We had to clean up the show in Salt Lake City. We had to clean up the lovely lady scene with all the prostitutes because there's some stuff going on there. But we had to clean it up. I can't imagine Spring Awakening faring any better.
There's really no
audience.
Cleaning up.
Really?
Spring Awakening, I would say.
There's some heavy stuff in there that you actually had to do.
I'm always
sort of like, wow, how about? And in fact, there's a scene in the show where a man and a young woman discover a part of life, Mm-hmm. And that girl that he had to do the scene with was in our show up until recently. And I always wondered, like, how
Julie
do you
Benko?
Julie Benko?
Well, we never did it together. We missed each other in the show.
Okay, but
she played the...
But you have a certain
we knew the
understanding.
Scene.
Yes. Yeah. That's how do you meet somebody? Hey, how are you? Hey, remember that show when we blank?
Right.
It's just kind of like, wow, okay,
yeah,
hello.
You know.
I haven't even had to kiss a man on stage yet. I'm waiting for that show. I'm waiting for that show to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
I'm excited. I'll be there.
Oh. I'll get you house seats. I'll get you house seats.
Perfect.
I don't know what the show is, but I want to do it. All right. Wait. When are you going to play Raoul in Phantom of the Opera?
Oh, wow.
You'd actually be a great Raoul.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You'd totally be a great. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You would know. You did Phantom.
Yeah, I did. I did the Phantom. Kind of. But, yeah, you would be great.
I don't
know.
We'll have to see when they reboot that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah, because our director is doing the reboot of Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be great.
That would be fun, though. Mm-hmm. I think first I'd like to do a straight play or something.
For real? Are you angling to get into straight stuff?
I mean, I would love to. I would love to do some kind of straight theater. Again, in Idlewild in high school, I got to do a lot of plays.
Idlewild being oh, that's your arts camp?
I got to do a lot of straight plays, which was great to have that experience before going to school for musical theater, where I primarily, you know, from then on have done musical theater. So I'd like to get back to that, definitely. But of course, hang on to the musical.
Well, you need to. I mean, those are.
I love the singing too.
Do you?
Of course.
Do you? What is your favorite vocal line of the show? What is your favorite part of doing Les Mis on a daily basis? Because
favorite part.
We all have to have that part that we just like doing. Your empty chairs is great. I saw it for the first time recently, and I really think it's beautiful.
Oh, finally.
You sing
it
beautifully.
To watch it. Nice.
I was late. I couldn't come into work, so I ended up watching it. It's a fun show. It ends badly, but anyway.
Right.
Do you like Do you
I,
like
I
empty
love
chairs?
Doing the I love doing
How do you
the
find as a singer, how do you find the singing in the show? Because I discussed this with Natalie last week that I kind of feel like it's a challenge. It's not easy music to sing. But you know, it's you can still get comfortable with it. What do you find with the role? Because your role is super low and super high.
Super low, not too high, but it all kind of has a tenor sound to it. But goes has some
really low notes. Table in the corner.
Right,
that's the one.
It's low, but it was a crazy transition from Spring Awakening too, because we weren't allowed to use vibrato in Spring Awakening.
Oh, really?
At all?
Really?
And of course, Les Mis is like,
gotta
have that vibrato.
Bring it! That's what the magic is.
Yeah, so that was definitely a switch, you know, adjusting my voice to that.
Okay, let me ask you: if you were to sing, do you sing Marius like you sang Spring Awakening?
No.
Okay, so if you were. Okay, so you're singing Empty Chairs and Empty Tables.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm hearing there, how would you change that for if you were singing it in Spring Awakening?
I don't know. There's something about the music that just kind of naturally comes to me.
In the Spring Awakening?
Just both
way.
Ways, yeah. Like in Empty Chairs, you know, I it just has that kind of depth and weight to it that, I don't know, I think lends itself to the style, you know, that the show is.
So you find your, with the exception of vibrato, you're pretty close to it. To the whole thing, you're close to the material as far as
I would say in some way. Yeah.
I think it sounds great because you have that pop sound
right
just innately, but it's also healthy. It's a healthy pop sound.
Right,
you're not burning yourself up, which I think a lot of people. Did you find it really difficult to sing the Spring Awakening stuff?
I think with training you can do it in a healthy way.
I tried to sing Jesus Christ Superstar. Once,
yeah,
and then
that's like
the,
some crazy.
Yeah, but the dude and the guy that knows how to teach you, who knows that material, he says, yeah, just sing your guts out, man. That was his note to me.
Sing your guts out.
Scream your face off, and you're just kind of like, wow, okay,
all right,
okay,
yeah.
I get that. That's and here's your $60. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess that show you can't really get around it.
It wasn't.
Melt your face off.
But it wasn't. Was Spring Awakening like that?
Spring Awakening is not as definitely not. That show as challenging, I would say, range wise. It kind of sits in a.
Do you think I would enjoy listening to it? Really?
Yeah.
Do you have a copy of you doing
it?
I'll listen.
Yeah, I do have a copy.
Oh, really? I'd like to hear that.
Copy of me doing Melchior and Georg, I think.
Melchior's the fat one.
No, Moritz.
Moritz is the fat one?
Okay. Not the fat one. The dorky one.
I did a concert with the young people, with the understudies. From Spring Awakening.
Oh yeah,
that was when I was doing it. Anyway. But it was they were really good. But the guy was fat, so I'm always wondering who the hell that was.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of cool the way the show works. You can kind of be any type in any of the characters.
Oh, and I'm sure that's the way the casting director felt about the casting.
I was the Melchior understudy, but I also swung all of the boys in the show. Whereas the Moritz understudy could swing all the boys in the show too.
Because oh, really?
The other boys could go any way, which was fun because you could do your own thing with it.
Anyway, from a physical standpoint,
right. Physical standpoint, and even within there, definite set things about it, but
right.
It was kind of fun.
How was it received across the country? Like, were there any?
Oh, there were people who stood up and walked out in the front row.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Overall, of course, I mean, standing ovation every night. The show is like, you can't deny it. Mm-hmm. But there were some definite places where it felt uncomfortable.
Really?
Which is great, though. I mean,
really? You think so?
Absolutely. I also got to sit in the, when I wasn't playing Melchior, there's parts called Chair of Rock, is what it's called. And we would sit in the audience and come in and enter with a ticket, like we were coming to the show, dressed in normal dress.
No.
Yep. And then halfway through the show, pull out a microphone.
In the show?
Yeah.
What?
So people,
you're a ringer, man.
Yeah. So people would have no idea next to us. You know?
How far into the show would you do that? Would you have to watch the whole show?
No, it was probably
living a lie.
It's probably like 15 minutes into the show.
And do you have any funny stories about somebody you had to sit? Did you scare anybody?
Oh my God. Some people would jump up.
Oh, yeah, really?
Oh, totally.
And are you in the front? Well, I guess that's okay.
Yeah. No, it's great. We're just, any way we can affect people, right?
Yeah, no, that's what we're doing. Somebody, this is your final week.
This is my final week.
This is your final week.
I can't believe it.
You know, something that's fun to do is like when I book a show, I think to myself, I wonder what sort of things I'll know later on after I've done this experience. Like what will be different now for you, coming from when you found out you got the job to when you're done, how are you different? How are you different as a result of this particular experience? I like to start with easy questions.
Yeah, right.
Enjoy that one. We're going to get on to karma in a minute.
See what you can
come up with. No, but how, I mean, what have you, what do you know? What
I
do you
would
know?
Say, you know, it's given me definitely a completely different outlook. It's hard to kind of think exactly what has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely
artistically.
I mean, you went through, when the show was opening, you went through a tough time at the top of the run of the show, that you really have proven yourself probably one of the stronger performers as far as like, you know, being able to stand up to the rigors of the role and everything.
Yeah.
So I mean, how do you feel it coming through it? I mean, it's impressive. Especially for someone so young.
Well, I think also coming out of Spring Awakening, I was anxious to take ownership
mm-hmm.
of a role,
mm-hmm.
you know, being an understudy and everything, which is a great experience in itself. Mm-hmm. But that was a huge thing about this for me that, you know, and just, yeah, like doing 8 shows a week and, you know, and testing your endurance with that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think doing the same show every night, you just learn a lot about yourself.
And the character, you know, when you really dig into it.
Exactly. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot you can dig into.
Okay, here's the thing that you and I have never discussed.
What?
Don't get nervous. when we are doing Fantine's Arrest, that is before you have become Marius.
Mm-hmm.
And you are one of the cops.
Oh my God.
For this entire run, I have found that after Valjean interrupts and he's talking to her, I every now and then will look over at you. You're one of the cops that I have dismissed off to stage left.
Uh-huh.
And I look over at you, and you seem to want to engage me in a just like, can you believe this guy kind of moment there. I don't think it's appropriate, but you've never not done it. I don't think it's appropriate for me to like be like, yeah, girlfriend, what's he doing with her?
I'm just
I never
waiting
feel
for
like...
you to tell me what to do there.
Oh, okay. See, you so know? I want to, you know, and honestly, a year later, let's do something. Let's do something like really important with that moment tomorrow.
All right. Okay.
And for the rest of this week, in honor of this,
all right,
I'll give you something. I'm always ready for it.
I've been waiting a year, so.
I that's what I'm going to do.
That character is fully fleshed out.
Man. Is he really? What's his name? God. What's that guy's name?
Francois.
that's a shit name. Terrible.
George.
Yeah. George, well, it's not much better, but I get it. Now, what do you, when you're looking at me, are you being like, Monsieur Inspector, what is with this guy?
This is absurd. Why are we letting this go on? Come on.
Totally.
Make a move.
I got you back.
I mean, you're just standing there watching this go on. It's
yo,
like,
bust this crack in the head, yo. That's what I'm saying.
Look over here. Promo for this podcast.
Hey, Andrew Varela, Behind the Barricade with Andrew Varela and Justin Scott Brown. Marry us in the show.
Yeah.
And come on up top. So go ahead. Come on, listen to it. We'll have fun.
Nicely done.
Anyway, so going back to us hating each other, that's what I feel like I want to do. As far as I want that moment to happen.
All right.
I want that moment to happen. What now? The cop next to you is Jeremy Hayes, who refuses to tweet. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, he's an anti-tweeter.
He's going to be working at 7-Eleven in a year.
Jeremy,
anyways,
Jeremy
Hayes plays Enjolras on the show. He's a vegan. That's the nicest thing I can say about him. We always have maybe 10 or 15 seconds before we go out to a restaurantine where the three of us are just standing there and we're just talking like idiots. Jeremy usually being the biggest idiot of them all. But what is his character? I mean, does he ever interact? Does he ever do anything with you there?
No, that's why doesn't I'm looking at you. It. That's why I'm looking at
he
you.
Doesn't,
no one's
okay.
giving me anything there, okay?
It's
a tough life for George, Francois. George.
Nobody gets George or Francois.
Nobody gets him. He's a dirty guy, though.
I think
he's, nobody
oh,
wants
are
him.
You? No. What I love is that when you guys come on stage, and I usually make your excuse to the police, and then there's the police enter into
right.
the scene to arrest Fontaine, and I come up behind. But you guys have worked out this thing where you seem to be on some sort of summer stroll down the boardwalk, and you start crossing upstage left to right.
This is a new addition.
And then you just see the action taking place, and you run downstage.
Right.
Yeah, so I appreciate it. I appreciate the fleshing out of this
story. Well, you know,
there.
It was before they had, phones and stuff.
It's like, you hear somebody say, the police, and you guys are there. And I think that's smart. I think that's just making the text work
it's
for
evolving.
You.
It's
evolving.
Yes.
It's evolving. Yeah, the show... Your show is evolving.
What else do you do? I think a lot of people would be interested to know that you, before you were Marius, like when you're George Francois,
George.
What else do you do at the top of the show? Who are you at the top of the show?
The top of the show, I'm a convict. Yeah. I'm pretty much in the show up until when I'm Marius, I would say. Ooh. Which is fun, too, because I get to kind of, do something totally
different.
I get to be poor. I love being in.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
You like doing that?
I love that.
Really?
One Day More, like just the full ensemble singing Wall of Sound.
Those are fun. And everybody in here, everybody in here has got a real voice.
Oh my God.
So
did Cab the Benefit last night?
I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to see it. The company did a benefit at a bar, raised $6,000. For BCFA.
Yeah. Because you forget. So I mean, you don't forget, but like a lot of people
they don't get to do it.
Sing every
absolutely.
Day. And,
absolutely.
It was
did
good.
You sing at the benefit?
I did. I sang it. Oh. We did a New World, an opener for Songs for a New World, and I sang the crazy, black tenor part.
You did? How'd it go?
No one else would do it.
So they picked the white kid from Connecticut.
Right, exactly.
I figured,
exactly.
Because you have soul.
Naturally.
You have soul. That's what it's really about. Wait, okay, here's actually, this is kind of cool. Shell Shock 2001 asks, if there was another role in Les Mis you could have played, what would it have been? That's a great question. I should ask that one all the time.
Javert,
but the only reason why you think is because I'm awesome.
So
you know.
Yeah, well, not everyone can be a brooding...
Right?
Like Andrew Varela.
That's it. That's my gift to the world.
You cornered the brooding world.
Do you see yourself playing Valjean or Javert later on?
I would love to.
Would you?
I'd love to.
You could probably do it. I think
you
could.
You know, some days, like, I just kind of want to, like, switch with Jeremy and do Enjolras.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I want to be Bamba Dubois. the psycho
awesome.
The psycho guy
some
that
of the
pizza.
Some of the solos, too.
They're really good. And they're really interesting characters.
Uh-huh.
That I mean... You know what I mean? Obviously, they can't move actors between tracks, but man, that would be a lot of fun to just play all these
absolutely.
Different people. There's a lot of people in the show.
Absolutely,
a free
everyone's
for all
got,
day.
Everyone's got a place.
Oh, we totally should.
Just
we should totally have a free for all
up.
Day. Can you imagine? Actually, it'd be kind
you know
of
that
fun.
I do watch you sing Stars every night because I make an entrance.
You're right there, and I have
right
to tell
after.
You, I perform a little bit for you.
You do?
Helps,
right?
I think to myself, there's a young actor over there, and he's watching what I do, so I kind of give it some drama.
You know what he says when he walks off? That's how it's done.
every night!
That's the kind of drama we need to bring into it.
So when you ask what I've learned on
what you've learned, that's how it's done.
I would say just from watching Stars.
This one, see, well, good for you.
Yeah. That's
for
you. Great. Look at you. You've taught.
I have. You're I'm like your. I'm Obi-Wan, and you're the other guy.
The other guy.
Okay, here. Okay, now here we are. We're at the point of the evening where we start up with the 10 questions from Javert. Okay. Yeah, here we go. And these are questions that we just are going to ask people when they come visit us here behind the barricade. Okay, 10 questions from Javert. What is your middle name, Scott? It's kind of your first name, too. Javert hadn't really
planned
on
that.
That
was a hard-hitting question.
I'm knocking you down, man. These weren't really crafted before names became pretentious.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Favorite chain restaurant?
Favorite chain restaurant?
Favorite chain.
Absolutely Chili's, hands
down. Oh, you're going to Chili's?
God.
Really?
That's skillet queso.
What do you
queso.
Order, though?
Skillet queso.
You order a skillet?
Skillet queso.
What do you weigh?
With chips.
Well, that doesn't get any better.
You can ask somebody what they weigh.
I can ask a guy what they weigh. I can ask a thin guy what he weighs. So you like the Chili's? Are they the ones with the...
No comment.
you can... they have the... is that where the Jack Daniel's ribs are or something like that?
I believe they might have the Jack Daniel ribs. I haven't really got ventured.
Do you always order the same thing? Susan has...
The chicken crispers.
Oh, you... What?
Yeah, the chicken crispers.
What's a chicken crisper?
Like chicken...
Are they like chicken fingers?
Chicken fingers, yeah.
Well, chicken fingers are good.
Yeah.
Natalie Weiss also chose Chili's as her favorite.
Did she? No. She said she got fired from Fridays or something like that.
Chili's? She worked at Chili's? Oh my God.
Yeah, no. Really? She's now you like her, huh? her favorite thing was fajita chicken nachos were fadge notch chicks. You had to write it down.
Oh,
fadge notch chicks.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Fadge notch
chicks.
I'm going to order it like that next time.
You have to. I actually, when you go to a diner and you ask for rye toast, they say whiskey down. That's how you say rye toast in a diner. Because if you say rye, the cook might hear white. So you go whiskey down.
Good to know.
How about that?
Good
Enjoy
to
your
know.
Rye toast. What fictional character would you like to have dinner with?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Fictional character I would like to have dinner with. Someone ridiculous.
You can say, like, the Cat in the Hat, because I know you like to read.
I would say, yeah. Oh, the Cat in the Hat. Yeah.
He knows a lot about
that.
One.
Took me
Did you like?
Months.
It's
yeah.
fine. Are you done coloring it?
I would have to say Lloyd Christmas
from
Dumb and Dumber.
Ooh.
That's
very good. Why?
I just, you,
you
know
just,
what?
You
I
need
live
to
for
see
that
him.
Movie. I live for that character.
You live for Dumb and Dumber?
I love it.
Do you really?
I think that would be hilarious.
That's totally funny. Of course
that
it
would
was.
Be so funny.
Which one is that? Was that Jim Carrey or the other one? Is Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. I mean, you could have chosen Winston Churchill.
Right.
Yeah. Because he's fictional. I just realized that. Here's one. A skill that might surprise people.
A skill that might surprise people.
Like, can you spin plates? Can
Ooh,
you
no.
answer? You can't do that.
I can't spin plates. So.
That wasn't part of your.
Can you speak French or something?
No, that's not. But see, that's not interesting.
You know what?
Speaking French isn't interesting
this is
unless
really
you're French.
Weird.
That's interesting to me.
This Ugh. Is really weird, but I had a talent in high school.
It's since passed.
I could I could still do it. I could imitate the Spanish learning tapes in class, and people would ask me to do it on command. All
okay.
Time.
All right,
please.
Let's hear it.
Okay, Justin right. Scott Brown,
in a while.
Spanish, Spanish language tapes.
Octividad Bay. Listen and choose. Do not repeat. Review your activities on your activity sheet.
Uno. ¿Cuántas personas están en tu casa privada? Ah, 25. En una mochila. Sí. En el bus escolar, de una botella de agua.
Oh!
Wow, I still got it.
That's my favorite.
Oh my God.
I still got it.
I knew all of it. It was all so compelling.
Oh
it was
my God.
So good.
Is that on your resume?
Those tapes. That is good.
Those tapes always cracked me up in high school. Well, and I always thought it was funny because the smart kids would laugh when something was clearly wrong, and then the dumb kid would be like, oh, clearly not that one.
I love you had two characters in there. You had the announcer.
I remember.
And you had a very passionate sort of guy who had to tell you something about the water on the bus.
There was a constipated guy with a really high voice. There was a low guy.
Nice.
Yeah, there were about four different voices.
I'll tell you what. So you win. You're the second person we've done, and you win. All right. What was it Natalie said she did?
She riff.
No, maybe it was riffing. I don't know what.
No, what was it that she liked to do? Told us randomly that she plays the piano and the
saxophone. She's like a genius or something like that.
That's not the skill that she said. I forget what.
No, okay.
Well, if you want to know, listen to her podcast.
I'll do that. Yeah, I'll go back to it. Okay.
This is about me.
Oh.
That's right,
that's how I know he's going to be a star. He can be that kind of dick. Last song you listened to on your iPod.
Let's see, before the show.
Before the show.
I listened to, it's that song, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, I think it is.
Kick it. Let's hear it. We don't have to pay.
You don't know that?
We don't have to pay. Do I know it? I live it.
Okay.
You know.
I'm getting it. I'm finding it.
Is that the 4S? Or you have the old phone?
I didn't get the new one, and I still haven't done the update yet. Have you?
Funny story that we'll talk about it. I updated Susan's phone and erased all of her contacts
and all my photos.
And then when I went back to fix it, I erased all of her pictures. So you could say I didn't fix anything. Yeah. Anyway, is this the tune?
Yeah,
kick it.
Let's do it.
You were listening to this one? Why do we hear this song all the time? Why do we know this song?
You know it. You know it.
I do know this song, yeah. It's on Pandora or something like that.
It's kind of like a sleeper hit.
Pumped Up Kicks from Foster
the
People.
It's been around for a while. Yeah.
What scares you? What are you afraid of, Justin Scott Brown? What do you fear? What is deep inside that makes you stay awake at night? Not really that, but I mean, spiders, you can say. That's funny, too.
Birds.
Birds?
I think so.
Are you scared of birds?
I mean, I don't have, like, a crazy, you know. Like,
but they make you uncomfortable.
They make me so uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, are you Italian?
No.
Wow. Did not see that coming.
Apparently Italian people have a thing about being afraid of birds.
Italian people have a thing about being afraid of birds.
It's a cultural thing. I'm not sure what that is.
Never seen that.
Just kinda,
they eat a lot of chicken.
You never know what they're
going to
do, you know.
That's interesting. So you never know what they're going to do. Yeah. That's what it is. Their unpredictability.
Like they're going to shoot your head or fly in your face. You know,
like... Sounds like it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking.
Right. Now just thinking about
it. I had a leaf fall on my plate at an outdoor dinner the other day. But in the corner of my eye, I thought it was a bird landing on my hand. And I became very frightened at that moment.
See?
Until I realized it was a leaf. Does the bird have to do anything threatening to earn your opprobrium?
Just be a little too close for comfort.
Okay. Does the bird size count? Like, is it sparrow?
Yeah.
Does a sparrow scare you? Because I find hummingbirds delightful.
A sparrow could scare me. Hummingbirds aren't bad.
Hummingbirds are bad.
They're kind of cool.
I always think they're bugs until I like realize look at the size of that bumblebee. Oh, it's a bird.
And it's kind of fascinating.
It's totally fascinating. In Arizona, they're all over the place. They're really beautiful.
Yeah.
I love them. Here.
All right. Well,
and here we go.
Hummingbirds.
Here we go. So, what scares you, hummingbirds? I really don't know what to think of. If you could go back in time and tell your teenage self something, what would it be? Oof. There you go.
Oof.
Lose weight, probably, right? I mean, you're just packing it on.
No. I would probably say everything works out the way it's supposed to.
Oh.
That's great.
Yeah, see? There it is. Now there's going to be probably 20,000 teens that tattoo that on their ankles. Because you just said that and 20,000 people hear this podcast.
Yeah, of course. Why not? It's good.
That's a very good one.
Good
words
to live by.
That is a good one.
I feel like I have now I can see that, you know.
Yeah.
In my, you know.
You feel like you have a lot of perspective at 25? I'm not, and I don't mean that condescendingly, because I was an idiot up until, what time is it? You know, I mean.
6 hours ago.
6 hours ago. Not even. We were at the airport. I was still an idiot then.
I would say, I feel like I'm coming into a new,
You see, you have an old soul sort of wisdom about you, I've noticed that. Do you get that?
I do get that.
You don't seem fazed. Like, even from day one, for somebody who who is at this point in his career, you don't seem very affected by it. You seem focused. Mm. You seem smart about what you're doing, but you don't seem to buy into it. And I think that's sort of admirable.
Yeah, I try
it,
not to.
It speaks of a wisdom that everything happens as it should.
Yeah.
And that's what I see in you.
Oh.
Obi-Wan. No, I'm Obi-Wan.
Tell me more.
And you have great hair. Okay. And actually, Justin and I talk about it. We dress a lot alike at some points.
Yeah.
We're both very into hoodies. I actually take a lot of cues from him on...
You do?
Well, I don't take cues from you, but if I see you wearing something, I'm like,
okay,
that's kind of
cool. So I take
cues
from you on stage, you take cues from me on stage.
Look at that. See
that
how that works?
Nice.
See?
That is like a yin-yang.
It's a yin-yang. I don't know what that means. Well, thank you for coming
you.
To Behind the Barricade.
Fun. Very fun.
And and good luck, man. Good luck when you go to the city. I honestly
we'll miss you.
I honestly have no worries about what you're doing. Your head's on right and you're bringing the right thing to the party. So I think it's going to be great. And congrats.
Thank
you. You made
Thanks,
it.
Man. Preach.
And this is
Phase
the bumper
it out.
Music. What? Up. All right, bye. Oh shit, no, I hit the wrong thing. Oh, I gotta add my password, man.
Oh god.
We need an engineer.
Good luck getting people to listen to the next one.
you're gonna crash and burn in New York, kid. I'm telling you. Bye.
Things just took a turn.